God's word, Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Thus ends the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Like I said, we need to talk about church. We need to understand why God has put us together, not just saved us individually, but saved us corporately, has made us into one people, one family. And so we're looking at this passage to see how that plays out in the body of Christ. But also, if you notice, as you read this, and maybe you're very familiar with Galatians, maybe not, this passage seems to have some contradictions in it. Did you notice that? I'm not saying that it does. Elders, calm down. There's no contradiction in God's word, but it seems to be so. Did y'all notice that? It says in verse 4, his reason to boast will be in himself alone. But Paul seems to contradict what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:31 when he says, and because of him you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, redemption, so that as it is written, let one who boasts boast in the Lord. But he's saying we're to boast in ourselves. That's interesting. We'll get to that. Also it says, bear one another's burdens. And then what does it say? Bear your own load. Okay, what does that mean? We'll get to that. I want us to, as we look at this passage, I want us to just to focus on two things, to consider two things. First, the burdens we share. And the second thing we're going to consider is the load I bear. The burdens we share and the load I bear. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. Now, when I say that, when you hear that, you might all of a sudden become tired when you hear that, right? Wow, some good breeze going here. I like that. You might become tired or weary, and maybe just for some of you, being around people makes you tired and weary. Does that happen to some of you? You can admit it. I know you're surrounded by people that are your friends, but you can admit sometimes people make you weary. You ever think that, you know, really, if I could just get away from people, my job would be much easier? Maybe you even think that when it comes to church, oh, church would just be so much easier if there were no people. You ever think that? A lot of people do. A lot of students think that. They think, you know, all I really need is just my Bible and my sermons online, and I don't really need the local church. And so I get to come and speak into that. But that's a very common thought. And maybe even you sitting here, you know, as I'm preaching to the choir, the people, you know, in church, but maybe you even feel that way sometimes. You know, if I could just get away from people. People are my problem. God's word tells us no, doesn't it? It says you need people. And not just people, but you need brothers and sisters in Christ. He has saved us to be in a community. He says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Greek word for burden here, it actually means something too big for one person to carry. There's actual difference between burden and load here. This word means something too big for someone to carry, like a couch, you know? You can't carry a couch by yourself. Maybe a love seat, but not a couch. A fridge, something too big for you to carry, that you need some help. Something that if you're moving, that you will call a friend to help you with, okay? And that's what he's talking about, something way too big for you to handle on your own. But the men in the room, okay, we have some men here, yeah. We all have tried, haven't we, to lift something too big for us to carry, right? It's just something of a macho thing, right? You see something, you're like, I probably should call. Wisdom tells me I should call and ask for help, but I know, you know, I can do this. And then what happens? You know, when you get to be my age, 35, you try that, and things start to snap and pull, and you're like, oh, I should probably shouldn't have, really should. Maybe at 25 I could have done that, but it's too big. And we've all come and tried to lift something and manage something that was too big for us. Maybe we went to the hospital as a result of that, but hopefully not. But we know what that's like. You know what that is. And he's saying here, in the course of the Christian life, there are going to be things you face as an individual that are too big for you to lift, too big for you to carry. And what are those things? What are some examples of those? There's a particular one here, but there's others. There's when you go through financial struggles, when you lose a job, when you lose a loved one, when you someone you love moves away. You need other people to help you through that. That's a burden too big for you to carry. And you pray that God will help, and you pray that God will see you through, but sometimes we forget that God answers that prayer through the person sitting next to you in the chair, or sitting behind you or in front of you. Did you ever do that? You know, there's that old joke about the guy who's in the flood and he's on his roof. You know, I'm not going to go. Y'all heard that before, right? Every preacher has told that illustration. Someone comes to help him, drives up. There's a flood coming. I'll help you. He says, no, I'm good. I'm going to wait on God to save me. And then the water rises and he's on the roof and there's a boat that comes up because the water's that high. And he comes up and says, here, I'm coming to save you. He's like, no, I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And then he's like on his tiptoes on the chimney and a helicopter comes and he goes, I'm here. Come on, grab the ladder. He's like, no, I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And he gets to heaven, and what happens? He says, why didn't you save me? He goes, well, I sent a truck, and I sent a boat, and I sent a helicopter. You know, he's like, I was saving you. And we forget that God puts people in our life to help us along the way with whatever struggles we face. You don't have to face struggles alone. You don't have to face these burdens and lift them on your own. God helps you through dark providences of life through other believers. That's by design. That's the joy of being in the community, in the body of Christ. But you know what? The only way that we can help one another is if that we're honest with one another. You realize that? The only way this can work, this community, this body of Christ, this helping each brothers and sisters, the only way that can really happen is that we're honest and open. I've got to be willing to open up my life to you for you to know where I need help. And I've got to look beyond just my little world and what's going on in my life so that I can see how to help you. That's convicting, isn't it? I mean, we haven't even gotten to the particular way to help here in this passage, but just having a view to you and you and you and to think, how does this brother and sister need help? What are the burdens in their life? I have to look beyond my life to consider you. I've got to consider you. We've got to consider each other as a part of our lives. God's brought you to this church and brought that other person next to you to this church so that you could help each other and share these burdens. But we've got to be honest with one another, too, about the burdens that we're trying to lift on our own. You know, it's interesting, as a pastor, before I was at JSU, I was on staff at a church in Kosciuszko, Mississippi, for 6 years. And it was interesting. There'd always be, you know, at least once a year, someone would be mad at the pastor. That never happened here, right, with Tim? Okay, anyway. But someone would get mad because we didn't come and visit. There was some medical situation, there was something, they got upset that we didn't visit and didn't check on them. And we're like, well, we didn't know it was happening. Well, I didn't want anybody to know. That would happen, you know. It's like some little lady would go, or someone would go, or man or woman or whatever, and they'd go have a procedure or something, and they would be kind of frustrated. And be like, but they didn't want anyone to know that they were going through the ordeal, but they wanted the pastor to somehow know to come minister to them. And you have to tell us, right? But maybe we're insecure and we don't really believe that, you know, God can help me and God has given these people to help me. Now, think about that, open and honest, but what is he really talking about here? What's the burden that we all need help with here? The particular burden is what? Our struggle with sin. Now that's even harder, isn't it? I'm not just encouraging you to, when you got a couch that needs to be moved, call somebody. You probably got that down. But he's saying there's struggles with sin in your life. There's besetting sins in your life. There's things that you don't have the objectivity to see in your life. You need brothers and sisters in Christ to speak into your life, to lovingly rebuke you, to encourage you. And God has provided people to do that. Isn't that wonderful? I want to see more smiles. Isn't that good that you're not alone? Yes, God, Jesus loves you, and the Spirit dwells within you, and He's given these real flesh and blood people to love you and help you and encourage you. Isn't that great? But we've got to be honest. We've got to be transparent. We've got to believe that Jesus really has paid for our sins. There really is now, therefore, no condemnation. And that we, when we struggle, we're just like Paul, like we read in Romans 7. We're just like him, loving the law, loving Jesus, but struggling with the flesh. And it's okay to do that. I'm not saying keep sinning, by no means. That's what Paul would say, right? But I'm saying we all are there, and we're all struggling. And we can share that without shame because Jesus has taken away the guilt and our shame. The biggest problem in your life, the biggest problem in my life, is our struggle with sin. And we are called to help each other with this. It's a burden too big for you to carry on your own. And if you're like me, you try to do that all the time. He says, no, that's not the case. How are we to help each other? We're to help each other, you see, gently. Not to point out sin, not to point our finger and just identify it, but to restore. You know? It's easy to kind of go, look what he did. I have two boys, two brothers. They're really good at identifying each other's sins, right? I mean, they're really good at it. But what I'm working on them to do is to try to gently restore one another in their sin, not just come tattle, right? But we all do that. We're all good at identifying that sin, that sin, that sin, that sin. But moving over and go, let me step into that sin, into that struggle, and restore that person. That's what God's calling us to here. That's what Paul is reminding us of, commanding us in Christ to restore one another gently. Not to say get your act together, not to say how dare you, but to say, you know what? I see that entertainment has become an idol in your life. You know what? I see that you're just not content and you won't, and you're just looking for the next thing to satisfy your need. To come and say, you know what? That's an idol in your life, and I have idols too, but you know, Jesus is better than that. That's how you restore. That's how we enter into each other's lives. And you've got to kind of step on toes to do this, don't you? So many times we're like, I don't want to step on toes, but God is saying, gently step on toes. Love people enough to gently kind of, I see what you're doing, and I know you can't see it, and I know you're struggling, and I'm praying for you, and I love you. Jesus loves you more. Jesus is so much better than this. Jesus is going to quench your thirst, not this. We participate in the body of Christ, in the local church, anticipating, even expecting your brothers and sisters in Christ to be struggling with sin. You get that? If you're visiting today, I want you to know something. The people in this room are struggling with sin. If you've been a member here for 30 years, I want you to know something. Everybody in this room is struggling with sin. And you're here to help. You're here to point them to Jesus. The burden we share. Now, the load I bear. Real quick. What's the load I bear? I get the sharing burdens, but what's the load I'm supposed to bear? We are called to look out for and help each other. But what does this mean? It means this. The Greek word for load, that's translated load in your English Bible, refers to something like a backpack. It's two different words. Burden is something too big for one person to carry, but a load is something that's just big enough for one person. It's a different, totally different word. That's why it's translated in different words here in English. What is this load, though? What is the load that you and I individually are to bear? What he's saying is what Paul is encouraging us to do is to rightly judge the state of our lives in relation to God. He's calling us to rightly judge the state of our lives in relation to God. He's saying, what are you trusting in? What is the basis of your righteousness? He tells us what it shouldn't be, doesn't he? He tells us that, verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He's saying, don't judge yourself based on the lives of others. He's saying, don't determine your righteousness or your standing with God because you're better than the next person. He's saying, like, in this whole thing of sharing each other's burdens and being honest, you're gonna have privileged information to a lot of sin, to a lot of struggles, and there's a temptation, he's saying, that when you're helping someone with a burden and you're looking and you know what's going on with them and you're praying for them, to in the back of your mind to think, just like the Pharisee, thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. Thank you that I'm not like that person. Thank you, God, that I don't struggle with that particular sin. See, that's sin right there. That's the flesh we're struggling with. Even in the context of loving you and you loving me, that we're going to be tempted to think, you know, I'm okay because I'm not like him or I'm not like her. Do not think that you're something when you're nothing. Let each one test his own work. He's saying that we all should be looking to Christ and to the free grace of Christ, that he is the one that saved us, that he was righteous for us when we could not be, that he paid the price for sin, for my sin, and all the righteousness I need is his righteousness. He has provided it. He's saying, what is the foundation of your salvation? Where is your righteousness established? It's in Jesus. And he's also asking us, and what is the, how are we living in context of that salvation, in context of that free grace? Are we looking to follow God's law as a rule for life, not as a way into salvation, but as a rule for life in the context of his grace? And that's something we all have to struggle with individually. We don't judge ourselves by our brother's failings. We don't judge ourselves righteous because we are doing a real good job of bearing other people's burdens. Our righteousness is found only in Christ and our faith in him. You see, bearing our own load is so important. We cannot help each other share burdens unless we're bearing our own load. If I'm not bearing my own load, I'll be too conceited, to condescend myself to deal with other people's sin. You realize that? That if you don't rightly assess where you are and the source of your righteousness, then you won't be humbled enough and grateful enough to Christ to help others. If I'm not bearing my own load, looking to Jesus alone, I'll be too ignorant of my own weakness to ask for any help. I'll be too proud to accept loving rebuke and gentle restoration. See, we must look to Jesus and him alone, bear our own load. Our salvation is not based on how righteous we are compared to others or how much we do in the life of the church, but it's in Jesus. And when I see my sin rightly and I see my Savior rightly, then I'm humbled and grateful enough to go and pick up the other end of the couch to help you out. And then you are humbled and grateful enough to help me out. We need one another. We need one another in the body of Christ. God has given us a home, a place, a seat at the table. You're welcome to this table. You're welcome to be part of this family. We experience the fellowship of God as we experience fellowship with one another. And what I'm trying to do at RUF, at JSU, is to create that kind of community on campus where people can share, open up about their struggles, allow someone in, me and another student, to help them bear that burden. And I want them to bear their own load in the sense of looking to Jesus and Him alone for their righteousness. You need one another here in the local church. And I realize I'm coming on the Sunday after Tim and his family have left. And I realize that it's going to be a hard time. But I want you to know, and I've seen this in other churches, that this period where you're without your head pastor can be a great time to, if you will, circle the wagons and really look to one another and kind of pick up the slack that the pastor and assistant pastor were doing and really begin to put this in action. This can be a great thing for a church. Everyone realize, you know what, I'm supposed to be pastoring as well. And sometimes when they're professionals like me, we kind of forget that. But I pray that that will be the effect here at Riverwood. That this kind of love, this kind of burden sharing would be more evident, more and more evident, as I'm sure it already is, that it would increase, even in this time of transition. We need one another in the local church so that we can help and can be helped. Isn't God good? Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this, your word, and thank you that this is true and that you have brought us into your family. You have given us brothers and sisters. You've given us people that struggle in the ways we struggle. You've given us people that don't struggle in the same ways, that can be people for us to rely on and look to encourage us, to pray for us. Lord, help us as your people to more and more look to you for our salvation, look to you for our righteousness, to be like the tax collector, that we would beat our breast and chest and say, "Have mercy upon me, a sinner," that we would realize that it's just by your mercy and grace that we are even here, but that we would, because we are humbled by your gospel, that we would look for ways to help and be honest enough about our struggles to be helped. Thank you for this, your church. And we thank you for the supper we're about to partake of, the body and blood of Christ with which to partake. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this meal to remind us just how real and sure what you have done for us, your atoning sacrifice, your body broken, your blood shed is just as real as these elements before us. So we give you thanks that you've given us this supper. We give you thanks that we can come together as a family around the table and eat, to be encouraged, to be invigorated, to have our faith strengthened in this, the Lord's Supper. We give you thanks for this. In Jesus' name, amen.